Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text for our reflection this day is from our Old Testament lesson. Our Lord declared, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. To begin this morning, we praise God for you, that you have once again chosen to set this time aside to be among God's people, that you are here to hear the word of God, to sing praise to his name, to confess your sins and receive his grace. We praise God that you have chosen to observe this Sabbath day to keep it holy. For over 100 years, the Sabbath has been observed at Trinity here every week, uninterrupted, so far as I know. Many of those observances have been times when we have gathered standing room only crowds, God's people joining together in soaring festival worship and exuberant praise. Other weeks, when the weather was particularly harsh or for some other reasons, we have reminded one another that where two or three are gathered, there also is Christ among us. Our Old Testament reading seems particularly timely for this first post-Memorial Day weekend in our calendar year, because we sadly expect this time of year attendance to decline over the summer months as beautiful mornings, vacation plans, and other distractions seem to compete for one's attention. And so perhaps a reminder is in order of God's Sabbath command, that his call to set this time aside as holy is not contingent on the calendar or our sports schedules or other distractions. Indeed, we know that this text could be equally appropriate nearly any day of the calendar year, where in our culture, worship life seems to have taken a rather precipitous decline in recent years. But you are here this Sabbath day. We rejoice over that. We're going to look a little more closely this morning at the role the Sabbath played in the lives of God's ancient people and why it is equally important for us still. Sabbath is one of those Hebrew words that we have essentially kept intact over the centuries. Shabbat is the way its ancient predecessor is essentially pronounced. It literally means day of rest. There was also a verb form, shabbat, which means to cease or rest from exertion. So there's little argument that God's weekly intention for his people then or now is somehow misunderstood or mistranslated down through history, as if to say, well, God doesn't really mean we're supposed to do that every week, does he? We kept the very word used in the original Hebrew. Its meaning and God's purpose remains quite unchanged over the centuries. Consider also the grave seriousness by which God ordained this observance. From Exodus 31, when God first gave the commandments to Moses, we read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you are to observe my Sabbaths. They will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever." Simple translation, God is not kidding. Not even manna in the wilderness, their basic food source, could be gathered on the Sabbath, and so they collected a double portion the day before. And here in Deuteronomy 5, as we read this morning, God makes clear that one can't simply delegate the work to be done by someone else. This isn't just for some special class of observant Jews or zealous Christians. One's entire household was commanded to stop. Including servants and animals made clear that all work, all commerce, was expected to be at rest. So here is a day set aside for the good of God's people. A day to rest and humbly acknowledge that God is both the creator of all things, who himself rested on the seventh day, and the mighty one who delivered them from perpetual, agonizing slave labor in Egypt. What a blessing God gives in the institution of the Sabbath command. But, you know how we humans are ever so prone to want to stray from humble acceptance of God's design and take control of things ourselves. And so from the time of Ezra the priest, which is about 500 years before Christ, a series of stricter and stricter laws were enacted among the Jews, laws that would prove whether someone was following the Sabbath to the letter of the law, and by extension, that would allow some to publicly demonstrate how pious and righteous they were. In the Talmud, which is the Jewish book of law alongside the scriptures, there were 39 principal classes of prohibited actions. Those categories were then elaborated into hundreds of laws that a supposedly conscientious observer must follow. For example, among them, you could not make or extinguish a fire. You could not write two separate letters. And you also couldn't cheat by using two separate types of ink. It's all well documented. You couldn't tie or untie knots, except those that could be done with one hand, perhaps for dressing oneself. A Sabbath day walk could not extend more than 3,000 feet from the place of your residence. Now, understand that that law was reportedly manipulated by those who would walk those 3,000 feet and then leave some food in that place, consider it a temporary residence, and then walk another 3,000 feet. So obviously, skirting the law is as ancient as it is current. But some of these observances were in no way lighthearted. During the Maccabean War in the century before Jesus, Jewish soldiers would allow themselves to be killed rather than lift a weapon on the Sabbath. Eventually, that law was amended to allow for defensive combat only. And all of those were man-made laws that in various ways really encroached on the spirit of God's clear intention, that of needful rest, a focus on God's word, and a strengthening of relationships. It became almost a contest. And we can easily scoff at these ancient distortions, asserting that those people were just overboard. Indeed, Jesus criticized those who observed the letter of the law over to the detriment of common sense, to the detriment of care for one's neighbor. And we may well applaud Jesus for taking such hypocrisy to task. But what about us and our day? We seem to have traded the observance of minute laws for a general sense of apathy. Today, our culture carries on as if no Sabbath exists at all, by and large. And we in the church often lament the advent of such things as Sunday morning baseball and round-the-clock commerce on Sunday like every other day. But the truth is, American Christians, for the most part, have gone along with this trend in near equal, perhaps equal number as everyone else. It seems our self-righteousness is not in following scores of nitpicky cultural laws. Rather, our self-righteousness now seems to be in justifying why God's law doesn't really matter anyway. In response to today, I imagine Jesus' words would parallel those that he spoke to the apathetic, as recorded in the book of Revelation when he said, "You are neither hot nor cold, and because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." The New Testament letter to the Hebrews makes clear that God's Sabbath command is alive and well. In chapter 4, we read, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest rests from all their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We enter God's rest when we rely on the salvation work that Jesus accomplished for us that we could never accomplish ourselves, no matter how hard we work. As we recognize our dependence on Jesus, we acknowledge that God's design for our everyday lives is truly best. Once again, the Sabbath is God's command, to be sure, but it is this command instituted truly for our good. God knows you need physical rest. You need to receive and dwell on the Word of God at a time when you are not distracted by other duties and burdens. You need a time to be still and hear God. Jesus encourages us today in Matthew 7 to beware of false prophets. One can only distinguish the truth from falsehood if you know the truth. And so here in this house of the Lord, we proclaim that truth week after week, that God is your creator and redeemer. And we follow his lead as the one who set aside time on the Sabbath for rest. We acknowledge that in Christ, we too are delivered from the bonds of slavery. Maybe not under a human taskmaster, but surely under the bond of sin. And so I'd encourage you again this week to consider the patterns of your own life, so that we are always a people of God who faithfully, joyfully, and thankfully observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And may God bless you as you do. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds at rest in Christ Jesus our Lord, today and always. Amen.